Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP 1 & 2 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Their Alexandria location now open and taking appointments. Got a new spot in Ashburn, Virginia as well. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Solville and Eric Bickle. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Vernon Davis of the Redskins joins us. We'll give you a chance to win Redskins tickets at 8:40. But right now, on the Maps Warehouse Hotline, it is John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf. On and off the course, Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. I guess Jason's just hanging out at Golfdom all day today. Is that why he's not there?
Well, word is interesting that he may be in the Bahamas. And the funny thing is he didn't tell any of us about this because a few years ago he said he would never, ever go back to the Atlantis. And if he did, he would pay each of us $500.
Oh, can I get in on that?
Well, I don't know if you can get it in post-mortem. But
I hear the Atlantis is like, I have not been there, but I obviously I know a lot of people who've been there because of the basketball tournament they have every year.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I hear it's like $25 for a beer.
Yeah,
oh,
that
it is.
It's exorbitant.
I took my family one time. Jason has been 17 times.
I think it might be a little less than that, but still.
I guess he likes it.
Well, he gambles.
Either that or he's a masochist, one or the other.
He's crazy. I can't believe he went back.
Both.
I can't believe he went back.
I'm glad that I'm not at the Atlantis even in this weather.
Right.
Correct. Well, hopefully it gets a little better this weekend. I think it's supposed to be perfect, actually, for Sunday, for the Skins game.
I hope it's perfect tomorrow because I'm going up to Towson to see Tom Flacco play. So I hope the weather's pretty good.
There's another Flacco, right?
Good. Yes, there is. And he's had a very good season. And they're playing James Madison, and they probably have to win the game to get in the FCS playoffs. So it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, Tom Flacco's playing. Joe Flacco may not play, and
correct.
And Lamar Jackson might not play. Is RG3 going to play this week for Baltimore?
It's possible. I mean, Harbaugh's playing it very close to the vest, isn't he? Both in terms of Joe's condition. My guess is Joe's not going to play, not because I have any inside info from Joe. And by the way, quarterback came out this week, and the reviews so far have been fantastic, which I'm thrilled about. I haven't talked to Joe this week, but just the way they're talking about it, I suspect he won't play Sunday, and that he might go with Griffin just because Griffin does have more experience as an NFL starter than Jackson, since Jackson's experience as an NFL starter is zero.
Now, are we?
Jackson's ultimately the future there, but John is trying to save his job,
right?
So he may go with the guy he thinks has a better chance to win Sunday rather than the guy who's their future,
right? Which I think they should do, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, for one thing, the fans are paying money to see you play. So you should do the best you can to win every game you play, regardless.
Hey, EB had an interesting question about the book Quarterback, and it has to do with chapters. And this is maybe your choice, maybe it's the publisher's choice.
Well, can I explain
your chapters?
It?
Sure, are just
they're numbered. Ahead. Here's the thing. So John gave us the book months ago, right? And John knows I started reading this months ago, right? And so I wanted to go back and review it. But the chapters are, and there are certain segments I wanted to go back
and
read.
They're not titled.
They're not titled, John. They're just numbered, and I found that very frustrating. I'm not attacking
well,
you.
That's as much on me as the publisher. The thing that it's kind of a thing in publishing now.
Okay. Even
in my kids' books,
yeah,
where you would think, you know, you would label the chapters for the sake of the kids, so they know what's coming. Like I'm reading Harry Potter right now. With Jane, my 8-year-old,
right,
and each chapter is labeled very quickly, so Jane kind of knows what's coming next,
right.
But in kids' books now, they I don't know, they somehow think that you're giving away something by labeling chapters. I don't know. When I do the reads on them now, you know, the for the audio, it's just you go okay, one, two, three. You don't even say chapter one. You just say one. And I've noticed that I've just been listening to the latest Michael Connelly book, and he used to label his chapters. I've read him since the very beginning, and now it's just one, two, three.
Right.
So it's a good point, EB. I can't even give you a precise answer why that's the trend in publishing, but it is.
Maybe they think that you'll like skip it because you don't want to read about that part.
Maybe that's it. You know, I don't know. Or maybe they feel, again, especially as the plot is evolving, that you don't want to give away what's coming next with a chapter heading.
Right. Well, I know with a nonfiction book, I wanted to go back. There was an anecdote you gave between like Alex Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I wanted to go back and try to find it. It was difficult, but I basically remember
the one about about Fitzpatrick's son or about the golf tournament.
Well, that was interesting too. But just sort of the way you just supposed the sort of the way the different ways those both guys came into the league.
Right. One is the number one pick. One is the 250th, right?
Right, right. So anyway, let's just give an overview for people. It's quarterback inside the most important position in the National Football League. And John and I bicker a lot on the air, but, you know, I'm a big fan of his writing. I always have been. I've read most of his books, and it's another great one. So this one, John picked five quarterbacks: Andrew Luck, Alex Smith, Joe Flacco, Doug Williams, and then, of course, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Do you care to give us any sort of background as to why you chose those five guys?
Yeah, sure. The common thread among all five of them is that they're very smart. And when I need that when I write a book like this, because I need somebody who, A, is willing to give me the time and the kind of detail and insight that I'm looking for, and B, is capable of doing it. Some guys are willing but not capable. Some guys are capable but not willing. These guys were all both. And I won't bore you with how I got hooked up with each one of them, but it was in each case. Well, Flacco I was able to deal with directly because of my relationship with the Ravens, but like Bob Sutton, the defensive coordinator in Kansas City, hooked me up with Alex Smith because Bob was a coach at Army when I did a Civil War. And I knew Doug dating back to his rookie year in Tampa, which dates me, but it's true. And the reason I brought Doug into the picture, even though he's not active, is I needed an African-American voice. And I got turned down flat by Cam Newton. I got turned down politely by Russell Wilson. So I said, why not talk to a guy who's A, smart, and B, understands the history of being an African-American quarterback? When he came into the league, he was the first guy ever drafted as an African-American QB in the first round. Joe Gibbs was the driving force. He was an assistant in Tampa behind them taking Doug in the first round. And then, of course, Joe brought him to Washington, where he became the first African-American quarterback to start and win a Super Bowl. So he has this fascinating history. He's really, really smart. I think people miss that sometimes because he's got that big Louisiana accent. But he has very strong feelings about the fact that even in 2018, it's different to be an African-American quarterback than a white quarterback in the NFL or coming into the NFL. Look at how people wanted Lamar Jackson to become a wide receiver. Some people. Bill Polian, most notably. So I got Doug for that reason. And Andrew Luck, I knew, was really, really smart and was in an interesting position coming off shoulder surgery. I had no idea he wouldn't play a down last year. But some of what he talks about in the book, dealing with that injury, dealing with the thought that he might never play again, I thought was fascinating for me to listen to. I hope it'll be fascinating to read. Right. And Fitzpatrick is unique, as you mentioned. Harvard grad, economics major, picked 250th in the draft. Just thought it was great that he'd get any chance to play in the NFL. And here he is 14 years later as a starting quarterback.
Right. And I don't think it's not a coincidence. They're all good guys. It's also not a coincidence that Cam Newton turned him down. That's just my editorial there.
Can I ask you a question, though, about Ryan Fitzpatrick in particular? And this is coming off the Redskins playing Tampa Bay. And he's been a guy who has thrown a lot of interceptions in his career. And, man, it's a pretty simple answer. There's football IQ and then there's regular IQ. So he may be extremely intelligent off the field, but man, he makes some bonehead plays
John,
on the field.
I question whether he went to like a Harvard community college.
No, if you talk to him, he's really smart.
Okay.
He's really, and one of the anecdotes that Eric was referring to, I think, was he and Smith are very good friends. And Ryan has six kids. All these guys had a lot of kids. That's the other thing they have in common. But he has a son who's now nine. But when he was eight, Ryan bet Alex Smith $20 that his son could solve a Rubik's Cube in less than a minute. I mean, I couldn't solve a Rubik's Cube in an hour.
I couldn't either.
And his 8-year-old son did it in 52 seconds. Ryan sent me the video, actually. Mm-hmm. So his wife's probably pretty smart, too. She went to Harvard also. She was captain of the soccer team. But no, he's really bright, but he's not a great quarterback. He's a solid journeyman quarterback, mm-hmm. and he does make mistakes. He makes great plays sometimes too, but he does make mistakes, and that certainly helped Washington last Sunday. But it's amazing. Everywhere he's gone, he's been signed as a backup. And everywhere he's gone, he's ended up as a starter.
Right.
And to the point where they call it the Fitzpatrick curse around the league.
Right.
I mean, he became the starter for the Jets a few years back because Geno Smith got punched out in the locker room by a teammate.
Right.
How often does that happen?
Right.
And then he started this year with Tampa Bay when they were calling him Fitzmagic those first couple of weeks because, you know, Jameis Winston had an issue with an Uber driver. How often does that happen?
Right.
So he's a unique story.
All right, let's talk about Alex Smith because I know people here are fixated on Alex anytime you're the quarterback of the Redskins. I think we all agree this guy seems like as classy a guy as you're going to find. I just love everything about him off the field. I think he's been a little underwhelming to me on the field. I know John doesn't like to hear that, but that's my opinion. But still, you point out in the book, this is not the first time by any stretch this guy's gone through adversity. All the different coordinators he had in his first few years, I think like six different coordinators. And you point out, he even says in there that he had to deal with the bust label. That plagued him for years.
Yeah. When you're the number one pick in a draft, now, there have been plenty of guys who were busts. I mean, look at Jamarcus Russell, look at David Carr, look at Ryan Leaf, who was the number two pick, and a lot of people thought he should have gone at the time ahead of Peyton Manning. And Alex certainly dealt with that in San Francisco. He was not good his first few years. He had a lot of injuries, but he also wasn't good. Then he had to play through a bad shoulder because Mike Nolan, who's a good friend of mine from his days with the Ravens, kept insisting he play even though he was in terrible pain every time he tried to throw the football. Finally, he went back to Dr. Andrews, who said, oh, this is a lot worse than I thought it was, and performed surgery on him at the time. And it was really Jim Harbaugh who saved his career. When he came to San Francisco, Alex was planning to leave. He was a free agent, was going to go sign somewhere, probably as a backup, and because he'd been a backup that previous year in San Francisco. And Jim basically talked him into staying and made him a star. You know, they came within an overtime loss to the Giants of the Super Bowl that year. The next year they were 6-2. He got a concussion. Colin Kaepernick got in the lineup, never came out. And then if you look at his 5 years in Kansas City, they were hugely successful, but they didn't get to the Super Bowl. And the most interesting thing, you talk about what a class act Alex Smith is, you should talk to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid about him.
Mm-hmm.
Because the night Mahomes was drafted, Alex understood they were drafting his replacement. And yet he mentored Patrick Mahomes. He became friends with him. He had him over to his house for dinner all the time. And they became good friends. And Andy Reid said to me when I talked to him for the book, the things Alex did for Patrick Mahomes, you can't repay in money.
Right.
And there are a lot of quarterbacks who wouldn't do that. Tom Brady wouldn't do that. And Alex did, and I know his numbers are underwhelming. I understand what people are saying about that, but the team's 6-3, and he doesn't turn the ball over. And when you've got a good defense, one of the keys to your quarterback play is to not give the other team short fields, make the other team drive the length of the field to score.
Right. There's no doubt about it. He has emphasized how important that is to me. I've learned more about how important that is this year than any other year, and that's because of the way Alex protects football. But also, just the eyeball test, he's not stretching the field, in my opinion, not taking enough chances.
Does he have, again, I don't want to get into a whole thing, I'm defending Alex and you're not. But does he have deep threats?
No, I understand that. But you can hit some medium stuff that I think we're not.
But last year when he had Tyreek Hill, look at his stats.
No, I know. I was hoping we were getting that guy, but apparently.
Well, if you got Tyreek Hill,
He might have been a nice addition too.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill. All right,
well, the other thing, kind of a bone to pick, but you know more on this one than I do for sure. So you maintain that Doug was given the underwhelming title of whatever it is, personnel director, but he's really the GM, and I'm not really buying that because while Doug may do it all, I feel like Bruce still has the final say.
Well, no, Dan has the final say. Okay, let's understand something. We've talked about this before. Anything that comes out of Bruce's mouth, Dan's standing behind him pulling the string.
Sure, I consider that.
I mean, Bruce is just the out front guy there so that Dan doesn't, Dan's gotten less criticism in the last couple of years because it's all been put on Bruce.
Right,
and I'm not defending
same,
Bruce
though.
On any level, by the way, but Dan is the one. For example, as I write in the book, when they made the decision, they sat there in January and decided, who do we want to go after as a quarterback? Bruce was in the room representing Dan, but it was all the scouts and their consensus, and Doug as the senior guy who said to Bruce, Alex Smith is the guy we should go after. Bruce then went to Dan because in that situation in particular, the owner has to approve it because there's a lot of money involved in extending the contract. But it was the scouts and Doug who said, this is the quarterback we should go after.
Right. Okay.
And Dan, through Bruce, approved of that.
Right, right.
It was also Doug who decided to go after Adrian Peterson this summer.
Yep. Yep, I know that.
Which is a great
move. That move worked out pretty well.
Paying off, yes.
We're
absolutely
running out of time here. I know you saw at least, I don't know if you read the Dave McKenna article on our mutual friend Mike Lonergan.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people hit me up and they wanted to know your thoughts on this. I know Mike has felt like that enough people haven't stood up for him over the last year and a half. Maybe things will change now that this is I told Mike, and I love Mike, and I've tried to stand up for him as much as I can, but, you know, I'd get sued if I said some of this stuff that I thought was occurring. You know what I mean?
Right.
But now that it's out there, will more people step up and support him?
Well, yes, I hope so, number one. But number two is, you know, I talked to Mike about this, and his hands were tied legally, more so than ours, because of the settlement that they reached in which he agreed not to talk.
Right.
And look, my biggest problem with the way it came down, and again, I don't like to, in spite of what Dan Steinberg thinks, I don't like to criticize the Post, but a story like that, you've got to have some on-the-record quotes. You cannot just let people hide behind anonymity. Most of the quotes came from people who were no longer at George Washington, so there was no reason for them not to go on the record. And when you're writing a story that ultimately cost the guy his job, which it did,
right,
you need on the record quotes. And that was my biggest issue with the story at the time that it came out. And I knew, and you guys knew, what was going on between Mike and Patrick for a while. And it came to a very ugly ending. And Mike is a hell of a basketball coach. And I hope he gets another job, because look at the job. Look at how good they were the year after he was gone, because of the players he had recruited. They still won 20 games that year. Now his players are gone, and GW is struggling. I'm not saying Maurice Joseph won't get it done. I hope he does. He's a good guy. But Mike had built a very good program at GW, and it was terrible the way it ended.
Well, and it's a travesty what happened to him. I mean, Mike was a whistleblower, and it cost him his career. Basically what happened.
Well, that and the fact that he made his boss an enemy. And you just can't do that, no matter where you work. If your boss is your enemy, I went through it at the Post years ago, where my boss became my enemy. And it's just not a good thing for anybody.
Well, I know if John Feinstein wrote a nice article about Mike Lonergan right now, that'd go a long way, probably. Probably go a long way.
Yeah, but I need Mike on the record.
Yep,
can't you go with other people on the record? There are other sources in that article.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. You're right about that, it's a dicey thing. But you're right. I mean, at some point, I may have the chance to circle back once we get more into the season.
Right. All right. Well, thank you, John.
All right, guys.
Touched on that. Everybody, check it out.
Hey, are we on next week, day after Thanksgiving, or not?
No, we're gone. Right. There's no chance. I'm not working. Huh?
Well, then I'm not working either.
I think we're gonna have you on Wednesday before.
Oh,
Wednesday.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to Valdez about it.
Yep. All right. Thank you, John.
See
you. Your people can reach out to his people. Go out and get it wherever books are sold. Quarterback.
Yes.
Thanks, boys.
All right. Yep. Thank you, John.
See ya.
All right.
Remember, it is a Redskins Friday presented by the one and only sportsbook, Hollywood Casino at Charlestown. Races coming up in 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes. Will give you a chance to win. We have two pair of tickets to give away to the Redskins-Texans game right here on The Junkie.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hit a game called Name That Redskin.
It's very tough.
Give you a chance to win those tickets coming up at 8:40, 8:45. Also, a reminder, Cakes and I are going to be out at Glory Days Grill this Sunday at 11 o'clock before the Redskins take on the Houston Texans. If you want to stop by for the Junkies pregame show, we're at Glory Days Grill in Alexandria Commons this Sunday starting at 11 o'clock. You can get more details at thefandc.com/events. So let's get into this. I think Cakes believes the Redskins are going to get this win. I just don't see it. But we'd love to hear from you on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067. Redskins, of course, get a win against Tampa Bay where they allow 500 yards of offense. And it's 2 weeks in a row. The Falcons lit them up and the Buccaneers lit them up. And now they take on a Texans team. And we could talk about the defense. But the Texans offense, to me, has the potential to light up the Redskins, too, with some pretty damn good weapons on the outside in
DeAndre Hopkins
and Demaryius Thomas.
It's a possibility, but this
and
is
And Deshaun is playing better. Redskins haven't gotten to the quarterback the last couple of weeks.
But the Redskins, I think, will have an opportunity to get after Deshaun Watson because outside of Josh Allen, the rookie quarterback from the Bills, he holds the football the longest. He takes the longest to throw the ball to
is
deliver
that true?
It. Once it's snapped. So the Redskins should have a chance to get home in this game and wreak some havoc with Deshaun Watson
but
because he gives you
points.
That opportunity.
They're still scoring points. They're
they
scoring
do.
24 a game. They're balanced. You know, they pass for 250. They rush for 120. I mean, that's about what you draw up.
But they also play in close games. In this six-game
streak,
only one of the games has been a blowout where they whipped up on the Dolphins like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Every other game has been within 7 or 3
Right, they're coming
points.
Off a squeaker over the Broncos.
They're
lucky to win that
game. Enough from
right.
the Redskins' offense where, look, I don't see the Redskins getting beyond, like a great output for them would be 24 points.
Yeah.
I don't really see them crossing the 20-point threshold against the Houston Texans. Like, there's no reason for me to believe they're going to be dramatically better. Slightly better, sure. But I don't see them scoring enough points to keep up with the Houston Texans team.
Well, they could
team.
Be if they just... All they have to do is finish one or two more drives than they normally do. One or two more drives. Finish it off.
I know, but they always stub their toe. And there's no reason for me to believe that all of a sudden this can be the game
well,
where
you know
they have
why?
No holding penalties.
Fewer holding penalties. They don't
okay.
have... Listen, they have been
But they're
worst...
facing... The best pass rush maybe they've faced all season long.
Just don't hold them. You'll be fine. Just
well,
don't hold
J.J.
them.
Well, then J.J. Watt's going to get to Alex Smith.
No, just
and
get
Alex
rid of
Smith,
the ball.
Who only commits a turnover every couple of games, probably will commit one or two.
It might be worth a turnover if you have fewer. They have more penalties than any team. They're averaging 8.7 penalties per game over the last 3 weeks. That's
Look,
worse
you're making
than
an
the
argument
NFL.
For the Redskins, and I don't
I'm not.
Disagree
I'm picking the Texans.
I know. That's the point.
I'm picking, the,
picking
Texans,
the Texans,
but I still think that they can. There's still more out there. In my opinion, the offense hasn't hit on all cylinders yet. They've underachieved. You
I
could say this is who
that,
they are, but I think they've underachieved.
But what is hitting on all cylinders for this Redskins team?
Well, 24
See,
points a game.
I think it's a lot lower than what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. It
I
hurts.
Think they're, sadly, I think they're a team that's just they're just stuck in this rut of scoring 20 to 21 points per game.
Well,
they're
they are stuck there, but I think they could break out of it. I've seen improved play from Alex Smith over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
I think slightly. There's
yeah.
been a slight uptick.
Yeah.
I look, he's won 4 out of the last 5 games because he's taking care of the ball. That's the formula. Take care of the
but
ball.
I think he's also.
I do wonder, though, with this banged up offensive line, and they did play well last week, how they're going to hold up against Watt and Clowney.
Just gonna
look,
have...
Watt gets his against everybody.
They're going to have to run the ball, and they're going to have to do some quick hitter stuff.
I mean, J.J. Watt on Morgan Moses?
It's just going to have to be quick hitter stuff. Of
it's
course.
Gonna
not going to have all day to throw, of course.
It's going to have to be a lot of helping out, chipping, got you extra tight ends. Yeah. Running backs helping out
it's
with the blocking.
It's not going to be exotic. It's going to be pretty basic, which is what they are. But they can execute basic things. I don't know. They just need to not have as many penalties and sustain some drives. It's going to be the formula winning ugly.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. Your take on the Redskins-Texans matchup. Now, part of me, like I would give the Redskins about a 40% chance to win this game. I'm going to pick the Texans. But... It's almost a do theory deal. Like Cakes mentioned, the Texans have been fortunate in some of these games. They've
you know what, they,
six in a row
you know what,
after dropping their first three.
They're
due a
like,
loss.
They're kind of like the Redskins, too. Look at some of their point totals in some of these wins. 19 against the Cowboys, 20 against the Bills, 19 against the Broncos. I mean,
now some
sure,
of those are good defenses.
They have some outliers. They put 37 on the
Broncos
board against
the
Colts. The
Cowboys have really good defenses.
Well, so do the Redskins. I mean... The counter there is the Redskins.
Although
have,
if you start looking at where the Redskins are ranked now after their last two performances, it's not so high.
Okay, so they're plummeting a bit in the yardage categories, but their scoring defense is doing well. And that's all you care about.
It's true.
If you let another team go for 450, yet you hold them to somehow 13 or 17 points, you're doing your job.
You think that the takeaways, which they're generating,
yep.
You think that is something that you can count on?
It seems to be at this point. I mean, when you're top five in giveaway takeaway ratio, it's not a fluke.
Well, haven't they gone 18 straight games? Is that the number with at least one takeaway? Is that the number?
Not sure.
It's something like that. Or maybe it's a pretty impressive number.
I think you can rely on the giveaways being low because Alex Smith, that's his track record. He takes care of the ball. I just don't know if you can count on. When you play the Buccaneers, you play Ryan Fitzpatrick, you can count on a couple of snafus by your opponent. I don't know if you can count on that week in and week out. Maybe you can.
One thing I've noticed.
The Falcons took care of the ball. They moved it right up and down the field and put up 38 on them.
One thing I've noticed is I think Alex is getting his receivers more involved. We've seen the emergence of Mo Harris. Even Josh is getting a little bit more involved. Hell, even Michael Floyd, Brian Quick have had a few plays here of late. So I think we're slowly but surely seeing Alex have more options.
I just wonder.
Options than just dumping it off.
The last 2 weeks they faced some really bad defenses. The Falcons stink and the Buccaneers stink defensively. Mm-hmm. And the Redskins couldn't really do much against both of those teams.
Well, they've had.
So I don't know how that changes against an even better defense.
Well, you got another week this offensive line to be together. It's going to help. I mean, they were picking guys up off the street, starting them.
I understand.
Last week, the guys weren't even around. And by Wednesday, they're in there wearing a starter's jersey. So you know, give them another week together, another week of cohesion. I don't know. I'm still bullish on them. Producing more offensively. They're not going to light the league on
fire. Do
you
believe they need to have the running game, though? Like, if you shut down the run,
eventually.
You don't expect the Redskins to win, right?
Oh, no, it'd be hard.
If Peterson has like a 30-yard rushing game, then it's not good for the Skins.
They have to stick with him because he's clearly demonstrated, this version of him anyway, that he can be quiet for a half or three quarters, but he still has enough, if you stay with him, that he could break out and have a big fourth quarter or whatever, or big second half. So you have to stay with it. You can't get in a situation. Let's say they stuff them early and then stay away from them. They've got to continue to pound it. It also keeps their offense off the field.
And Peterson said this week that he feels fully healthy, which is not usual for him. So
he actually feels better now than he did at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Which is kind of bizarre.
The guy I'm worried about is DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, he's a top two or three receiver in the league. And in his last 4 weeks, he's got touchdown, touchdown, two touchdowns, touchdown. The guy has a nose for the end zone, and he's heavily targeted in that offense for a good reason.
Now, last week, I think Josh Norman, when he did travel, did a pretty good job against Mike Evans.
Yeah. I think Evans has held to, three catches for 51 in that game?
And I do think Hopkins is better than Mike Evans. Faster. I just think he's better overall.
Yeah, he's more dynamic. He can break the big one, whereas, I mean, Evans can catch a deep touchdown, too, but he's... Evans is almost like a bigger, improved version of a Josh Doxon.
See, I said this after the Falcons game, but worried me about the Redskins defense, which was ranked as high as number two in the NFL at one point in terms of yards against. And Cakes points out they still are very good in terms of points against, is that Atlanta showed a formula. And Tampa kind of followed it. Now, Tampa shot themselves in the foot. And Tampa actually used some running, which Atlanta did. Atlanta ran successfully against Redskins, but... mostly just the passing game. And the passing yards that the Redskins have given up in the last 2 weeks, it's outrageous.
Yeah, but like last
it's
week, that was but that was by design. You understand? Their design
okay,
was
but it wasn't
give
against
up,
Matt Ryan.
The design was we're going to give up the short stuff, and then once we get close, then we're just going to hope that we can pressure Fitzpatrick into some mistakes, and it happened.
Yeah, I just don't know that you can count on that.
They didn't want to get burned deep. So keep them in front of you. And eventually, Fitzpatrick will make some mistakes. Now, I don't think Deshaun makes as many mistakes as Fitzpatrick.
No. And when he's pressured, he can run out of the pocket. Yeah. He can beat you with his legs, too.
Yeah. Well, so can Cam, and they found a way to win that game. So, listen, I'm picking the Texans, but I don't know. I think it's a 50-50 shot.
All right, coming up next, we'll give you a chance to go to the game. We're giving away Redskins tickets next as we play Name That Redskin, a very complicated game that we came up with
here. Very difficult.
There was a long development process.
Yes, a lot of handwriting.
We were doing. We're playing Name That Redskin. You can call in now at 800-636-1067.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Redskins Friday. And we have Redskins tickets to give away for their game this Sunday at FedEx Field against the Houston Texans. We're playing Name That Redskins. Very simple to win. If you're a Skins fan, you got a good chance at winning a pair of tickets.
All right, let's get right to it. Who's up first? All you gotta do is answer one question correctly. It's all about naming a Redskin. Who's up?
All right, let's go to Angelo in Woodbridge. Angelo, what's up?
All right, Angelo. Hold on,
what's up, Angelo?
Go ahead, Cakes. You can lead it off.
All right, Angelo, this Redskin went to Coastal Carolina University.
Ooh. Josh Norman.
Correct.
It is Josh Norman.
It's that easy. You got your pair of tickets to see your Redskins take on the Houston Texans this Sunday at FedEx Field. Tickets are still available through redskins.com/tickets, and those tickets are courtesy of the Washington Redskins.
You know what's funny?
It's that easy.
I didn't know that.
Now you know.
For some reason, that was a blind spot for me.
He is a Coastal Carolina Chanticleer.
How many guys from Coastal Carolina have made it to the league? Can't be that many.
Probably not a lot.
Can't be that many.
I guess he's the best.
Not many.
We have more tickets?
We do.
Let's go to Jeff.
One more pair.
In Arlington. Hey, Jeff.
Wow, that first one went on the first question.
It did, yes.
Hey. I told Cakes, like, I came up with five questions. I think he has five questions. Like, 10 should do it.
We've got plenty.
Might only be two.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Right. What's happening?
What's up?
Shoot, let's go.
My father-in-law, it's Name That Redskin. My father-in-law was a former Major League Baseball outfielder, Brian Terang. Can you name that Redskin?
Impossible.
Jesus Christ. No, I can't.
Well, just take a guess.
It is Tressway.
Aha.
I had to ramp it up.
Very good.
How do you spell the guy's T-U-R-A-N-G? That
Correct.
Was the guy? Yeah.
I mean, who's going to know that nugget?
That's a tough one.
You have to be a real hardcore Skids fan.
He played with the Mariners.
Who's our next contestant?
Let's go to Jacob in Fredericksburg. Hey, Jacob.
How's it going, Junks?
Hello, Jacob. Are you ready to play Name That Redskin?
I'm ready.
All right, good luck, Jacob. This Redskins defender played his high school football in Columbia, Maryland. Name That Redskin.
Columbia, Maryland. Let's go Quentin Dunbar.
I believe that would be John Allen.
Incorrect.
Oh, no, John Allen's playing in Virginia.
That is incorrect, sir.
I'm thinking local.
What was the question again, Kate?
This Redskins defender played his high school football in Columbia, Maryland.
All right, is that a carryover question?
It can be.
They Googled it by now.
Yeah, Redskin, we don't do carryover. Who is it?
Zach Brown.
Zach Brown.
Yep, that's correct.
That's right, I knew that. Was it Oakland Mills?
Wild Lake, I believe.
Wild Lake, damn it.
I think that's correct.
You're getting a box in trivia. Once he went local, it's like Jonathan Allen.
Right.
Let's go to Julie, Huntingtown. Hey, Julie, good morning.
Morning.
Hello.
How are you?
Julie, name that Redskin. This Redskin is hooking up first responders with 100 tickets to this Sunday's game against the Houston Texans.
Is it Clinton Dix?
Ha ha, Clinton Dix. Congratulations. You're going to the game to see the Texans take on the Washington Redskins at FedEx Field. Tickets still available through redskins.com/tickets. It's courtesy of the Redskins. Details at thefandc.com/contact.
It's the Redskins.
Redskins.
The Redskins.
All right.
That's okay.
Congrats, Julie.
Donkey Kong.
I just did right there? I could see their real names. I could go over there and I could just Google and try to see what these people look like. You know, you don't do it for guys, but for girls, you can just see what do they look like.
Okay. This is a window into your soul, I guess.
I'm just bored. You guys are asking questions.
I would never, ever do that.
Yeah, you just go and see if I can. I see that person's name. See what this person looks like. Yeah, can do
okay.
That. It's great.
Sounds creepy.
Yeah. It's being bored. You're a 4-hour show. Give you something to do.
So that went four questions deep. It's pretty
not
good.
Bad. Look, we want to give the prizes away.
Hey,
that's the whole thrust of the contest.
I agree. Hey, look, 9:45 will give you a chance to win some Wizards Trailblazers tickets. That game is coming up this Sunday. Wizards going for their fourth win in a row tonight against Brooklyn. Will they get it, Cakes?
Ooh, this is the, if I believe I'm correct in this, is this the Dwight Howard revenge game against the Brooklyn Nets? I always love that narrative, JP. You know
love
that.
Love revenge game.
Yes, they get it done. I mean, Caris LeVert went down in a heap the 2 games ago. That's their best player on the Nets. And you're getting them at Capital One Arena. Should be a dub for the Wizards. Should be probably, I'm guessing the spread is probably 7 or 8 points. I'm just guessing. Haven't looked it up. I mean, that's a game you should win at home every single time.
They're not great defensively either, although they're about 7 points better. But they're giving up about 110 a game. It's just kind of, is there anybody in the league that's given up under 100 on average? I don't think so.
I think for a while Boston might have been, but they've probably gone past
they're
that number.
They're at 101.9. Yeah, nobody's given up less than 100 per game. That's crazy.
High scoring league nowadays.
Wiz laying 7 and the over under is 222 and a hook. I might like the over in that game. Big surprise, right? I'm picking an over in an NBA tilt.
Now, you lost your bet against Jason on Wednesday when you actually bet on the Cavs.
I had a single. For whatever reason, I had a single that the Cavs, who first and foremost are horrible and had played the night before, and then got on a plane and flew to D.C. and were bleary-eyed and tired and probably got 6 hours of sleep, I thought they were going to hang within 12 points of the Wizards. And they got boat raced in that game.
Valdez.
So just fade me.
You tweeted me a reminder to watch the Tiger Phil thing, and I didn't.
Yes.
All right?
I figured you wouldn't.
Yeah. No, I'd love to.
You can watch it on demand now.
Yeah, I'm sure I can. What was your take?
I think Phil's going to smoke Tiger.
Because Tiger's not into it?
Well, Phil's taking this very seriously.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, Phil looks awful, too. He looks like he put on more weight than AWOD.
Really?
Yeah, and Phil's wearing all black. It's impossible to wear all black and look chubby, except if your name's Phil Mickelson.
Right.
And his
hair. Is he wearing that awful, like, dress shirt, golf shirt thing?
Yeah, it was the work. Yeah, the Mizzen and Men, whatever. Yeah. Mizzen Mean.
Mizzen and Main, I believe, Ricky.
And then his hair's butt long. He looks awful.
And is
Doug
Tiger,
McKinney's very upset at you for this segment.
Is Tiger, like, clearly not into this?
Tiger, someone tweeted me, and it was a funny observation. It's like the camera crew just showed up at Tiger's house, and like he just like forgot about the match and the 24/7, and so he's just riding around in his golf cart on his home course, just hitting balls while Phil is flying to Shadow Creek and putting out like different pin positions and everything.
Like he's really taking it seriously.
And going through a game plan in his head about winnable holes. Closest to the pinholes and like
I just realized
holes that he can bait Tiger on and everything.
It's Tiger Week.
It is Tiger Week.
Unfortunately, it's Tiger Week again.
It's not really Tiger Week. Next week.
It's Tiger Week.
Next week.
Yeah, but next week.
It's
look,
Friday.
Next week, it's going to be a short Redskins week because you're going to have Monday, which is either Misery or Victory Monday.
Right.
And then you're going to quickly start fast forwarding into the meaning of that Dallas Cowboys
quick
game.
Pivot.
Because if they lose and it's Misery Monday, okay, you're still 6-4. You're still atop NFC East, but it could all crumble if you then lose back to back to the Dallas Cowboys.
It's a short Dallas Tiger week next week.
And
that's
then
a lot
going
Philly
on. Looming.
It's 1995. Will a million people buy it?
No. A million?
Yes.
No
I think
chance.
It'll be north of a million.
No.
Yes.
I'm more confident than ever. I would probably bet under 500,000.
Well, you think
no,
about
you know
all.
What? I'm going to bet under. I'm willing to put money on this.
Right.
I'm going to take you for a dollar for your million bet. I'll take the under. A dollar?
Now, listen to his other offer.
But
I'll give you.
Tiger's not worth a million pay-per-view buys at a discounted price.
You know what? I'll hook you.
If it's
I'll
an exhibition.
Yeah, for $1. I don't care about spending a dollar on a bet. You're on. I don't care. It's $1.
Finally.
It's a small blind at MGM National Harbor.
How about we do this? We do a scale where it's a dollar for the million.
Okay.
I'll do 2 for 900. I'll do 3 for 800. I'll do 4 for 600 and 5 for 500. He's not going to get 500,000.
It sounds like a paltry number.
I don't know what he's going to get.
Dude,
because golf fans aren't used to paying to watch golf. So I'm just not sure.
And isn't it on a college football Saturday?
No, it's on Friday.
It's on Friday, the day after
Friday.
Thanksgiving.
Everybody's so Friday, shopping. Live coverage,
I think, starts at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I think the match starts at 3, and then
there's an hour pregame show.
Dollar bet is in. We'll put it in the bet book.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to do a $5 bet on 500.
Ooh. Let's just keep it the dollar bet. Because I don't know. I don't know what the pay-per-view universe looks like.
I don't know. Well, you just got to figure the average UFC fight is doing what these days?
The average?
The average.
Oh, probably like $100,000 or $200,000.
That's it?
Like the nubby ones.
No, more than that.
No, some of them have gotten that low. I mean, if you include
a very good pay-per-view, does a million buys.
Yeah,
right. But what's the average?
Plus, they're more expensive.
So I know, like, Conor will do like $2.5 million or something.
Yeah, but people like paying to see people fight, not a putt 6 feet.
I mean, seriously, the clip I saw, Tiger was just like smiling, and he's like, you know, we'll maybe put up $1,000. If I make this putter.
So you would be psyched because they're going through like different kind of bets that they're going to do. Like they're going to do $1,000 closest to the pin on the par threes.
Right.
They're going
to
do
But you understand $1,000 to the jokers is literally like a dime to cakes.
It gives me chub.
Valdez, here's what I need to know. Are you plucking down $20 or are you Reddit streaming it beaming it off 8 different satellites? What are you doing?
Well, since I use YouTube TV, since it's pay-per-view, you probably need a box. So I don't have a box.
So you're gonna have to go to somebody's house.
I need someone throwing a Tiger party to invite me. All right, my appearance fee will be the pay per view, if a bar is having it, like a UFC fight, they're having the Tiger Phil match on all the screens.
You know, that'd be the lamest, whitest bar on the planet. Having people in for that
I'll
event.
I'll give you 2-1 on my $500,000 bet.
You're really desperate to get this bet in.
Yeah, JP is just grasping for money right now.
No, because I think it's not even grasping for money. It's that I think the cakes is spectacularly wrong on the million pay-per-view buys.
I've said that I don't know, about pay-per-views.
You know what does a million pay-per-views? WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's a massive event.
How much does WrestleMania do?
About a million every year.
All right, I understand it's massive, but you think that WrestleMania is bigger than Tiger?
Well, yes.
What you guys are all missing too is this is cheaper.
I love
WrestleMania
Tiger, and I would
is
agree.
Probably $80 or $60.
Right, this is $19.95.
Cheaper.
This is
the cheapest pay-per-view. But so are movies on demand, and not millions of people don't get those.
You have the money for that underneath your seat
cushions. What do you think? Let's everybody just shut up and make their prediction. What do you think?
I'm gonna
100,000.
I'll predict 175.
I'll say 325.
I'm going to say 10 million people buy the pay-per-view.
If they do 100,000, what's the math on that at $20? That's 20 million? No, or is that 20? That's what the hell is that?
20 times 100,000?
Yeah, what is that?
So you would just add a zero to 100,000
right?
With a two in front. So that would be
two million.
No. It's only $2 million?
Radio math. So
they have to have figured out it's going to be more than that.
They got sponsorship money.
Radio Insider.
Yeah, they definitely have sponsorship money.
All right, what are we doing? We got Vernon Davis coming up.
All right.
Are we whoring him?
No.
Yeah, we got Vernon Davis coming
break.
For 9
we're
o'clock.
Doing,
let's
doing
take a break.
Sized.
We got the whole match.
You think Vernon to order?
Vernon, no chance.
Vernon Davis joins us next here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.